night at 7:30 for a building. Saturday night, I suppose. The meeting on Saturday night, and possibly that particular night as an issue. We'll just see how things go. Now, the purpose of this chart, of course, is to trace, and I'm going to read from Romans 15, so you'll see what we mean. 15th chapter of Romans. And reading, I just want to get a verse here. Verse 3, Romans 15. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So you see, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now let us read another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And reading from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. But they drank of that spiritual rock that caused them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our ensample to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. So these things were written for our learning. Now, tonight we're going to start on the chart back at the beginning. We're going to look at the blood sprinkled over and the Passover in Egypt. Now I might say that the chart here is divided. This Pharaoh is a picture or a type of the devil. Egypt is a type of this world under bondage with the sword of the divine wrath hanging over it. But to the wrath of God abide upon him. So this speaks of this world today. That's what it says. That's the type. That's the picture. Of the world today and poor sinners here in it. Then, of course, we're going to notice the nights to come. This red line here is a picture of God's redeemed people from the blood sprinkled door until the end of their journey through the wilderness and into the promised land. Now the wilderness here, this part of the chart, speaks of Christian experience. After we're saved, I'm going to be bringing out, different parts of this part of the chart here, experiences that the redeemed people have on our way home to glory. So we teach you in that, so we can bring it out and be a help to God's people. And of course, up here, they cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And we'll be noticing that in nights to come. So I'm not going to go over much more of that tonight, only to show you that this is the plan of the chart, and this is what we'll be speaking on in nights to come. All these are lovely teachings for the people of God. Now we're going back, and we're going to read in the book of Exodus. We read in 3, chapter 3 of Exodus, in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land, into a good land and a land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, let us read in chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice? Let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. And let us look down now and maybe we'll just read on. And the king of Egypt said unto them, who, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works, get you unto your burden? Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and he made them rest from their burdens, and Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people, and their officers said, ye shall no more give the people straw to make bread, as heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of bricks which they did make, hitherto ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 15. Then the officers of their children came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servant? There is no straw given unto thy servant, and they say to us, make bread. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. Now, let us read in chapter 12. Chapter 12, and shall we read from verse 13. Maybe we'll read from verse 1, chapter 12. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses where it shall be eaten, where you shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it drawn or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head, and his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass over the land of Egypt through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, let us look down. Verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight, the The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, which sat on the throne, one of the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And that suffices for me. I want to notice a little word of the gospel tonight. As I said, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can get a picture of what's going on in this world today. Satan is the god of this world. You see, people say, well, if there's a god in heaven, why are there wars and why do people suffer? And why are there little children starving to death in some parts of the world? Well, I want you to know that it's not the God of heaven's fault. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a God in rebellion against the God of heaven. And he is the God of this world, he's the prince of the power of the air. And he holds men and women captive. You talk about it over there in Iraq, that man holding captive. The devil is holding men and women captive. And when we preach the gospel, we're preaching a liberation that there is a way out. Not an airlift, but there's a way out. And that's what we have here. That's what the book of Exodus means. You see, when we come to the end of the book of Genesis, the last words would be a father in Egypt. And then the book of Exodus, the word is Exodus or exit. As you have it down here, the big land is exit, that's what Exodus is. There's a way out, a way out of the bondage, a way out of death. And so the God of this world, of whom sitteth, Pharaoh is a picture. You see, he's a picture of the devil. And those people who are here, they are in bondage. They are in need of salvation. And they're in bondage through no fault of their own. They couldn't help it. And neither could you. And neither could I. We were born children of wrath under the domination of a cruel taskmaster, the devil. And we grew up that way. And you get a little picture here. What were they doing? Some of the sinners are doing today. See here? See this wheel? I think the artist had a lovely thought in his mind. See them going here? Where are they going? You know, you go down there to the wildlife park and you look at the different animals, and one that always intrigues me is the little one wheel. And you look into the cage there. You talk about somebody being busy, something being in a hurry and being busy. You look at that little thing, and it's running around that wheel. Where's it getting? Same place as the poor sinner's getting nowhere. And making all kinds of effort, but getting nowhere. That's what is going on here. That's what's going on in the world today. And when God begins to deal with a sinner, just like Pharaoh here, when he saw that God was going to deliver them and going to interfere with the brick making, he piled more on them. That's where the devil was. People so busy today. You ever stop to think that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when men plowed with oxen, and they traveled the road with horse and buggies. Men had time to read the Bible. Family worship in every home, almost. Prayers were said. And church meetings was a must. Nobody missed. Prayer meetings. Revival meetings. They built the church buildings. They built the schools, they lived, and the most of them weren't in debt. They don't get anything they had. No debt. Now they come to 1990. What's wrong? It was then it was make rich. Hey, the devil says make money. Make money. And of course, you can't get enough of it because everything is gone up in price and everything. Who's behind it? The prince. The power of the air. He determined good and evil good. Why stand we're in bondage? And if you have any feeling at all, you read the news, maybe I follow it too closely. When I hear of dear men and women, and there they are kept captive, you say, oh, that cruel monster! Why doesn't somebody shoot him? That's the first thing you have to believe. Why doesn't somebody win? And do away with it, not do all of that and get rid of the cross. When I think of that, I think of a cruel devil that unseen people don't even believe exists. And it says, when a strong man armed came to this palace, his goods are in peace. Who are his goods? Who are Pharaoh's goods? His chattels were the children of Israel. And he had the taskmasters that keep from making brick and more brick and more brick. The way the devil has people today, most of the guns. And so, if you're not saved, you're in absolute bondage through no fault of your own. But I want to tell you that God looked down in mercy upon these people in bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God heard that mother, and God heard that father even holding his back all night. And all he could do was groan. There's no end to this. What's the future? Now when people are asking today, what's the future? Where is it all going to end? Some turn to drink, and some turn to drugs, and some turn to other things, immorality and all this kind of thing. But oh, the groaning. The groaning. In a poor sinner's soul. But I want to tell you, friend, God hears the groaning. And God will go to any length to liberate a sinner. I was 21 years of age before I got over the clutches of that cruel enemy. Oh, I was making bread. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Work hard all day. Take the horse, go to the binder, 5 o'clock. Some of you older than I understand. Give them feed of oats. Take them out of the buggy. And away we go, fiddle under the seat, and away we go off to the dance. The crowd had gathered. And my, for about 4, 5, or 6 hours there, we'd have a hilarious time. Shouting, dancing, drinking, and, men. By and by, I'll let you leave for home. Leave for home. And your head is sore. And you'd be groaning. You set it under the nun again. And just as you'd be driving in the lane, maybe had to travel maybe 8 or 10 miles. And you just see the rays of the sun peeking up. And I thought, what? I'm not going to do this thing. But friend, as soon as the next dance was on, you may even go again. What? You see, in Egypt here, although they were in bondage, they had the leeks and cucumbers. And I like both of them, leeks and cucumbers, the fruit of the ground, you know, they weren't grapes. But there were the little pleasures they had. They spoke of the little pleasures they had. In spite of the groanings and the last backs, they'd get together, have a little picnic, maybe, and they'd think of the lovely cucumbers and all these things and the fish that they had in Egypt. When they could have these, who'd be noticing that in nights to come. They forgot the lash, but they remembered the fish, and the cucumbers, and the leeks, and the garlic, and all that. So they did have little times of pleasure and enjoyment. But then next day, it was back, take brick. So they were in bondage. Now God heard their groaning. I'll tell you, friend, that God, if God sees an honest soul that realizes their bondage, God will send it to the ends of the earth to reach them. I don't know that I told that in your hearing. On Pogo Island, God did a work over there in Newfoundland, we're 13 miles up in the Atlantic. And a dear woman by the name of Doss Snow, the same. Her husband didn't get saved, but she raised a little family. They came to our Sunday school. 7 or 8 boys.
such as the children did here this morning. They heard the gospel. Then he grew up, and of course he wanted to get away from folk a while and get out and see the world. Because the God of this world, he wants to keep his goods. He's determined to get money. So he was up in Ontario. And I don't know what all happened, but Landy landed in Kingston Penitentiary. I don't know what his crime was. And he was delivered there with another man from down in the West Indies. A colored man who was a Hindu. I was in for murder. Dear Mrs. Snow, she groaned, she cried, she was saved. And she sat down and she wrote letters to Randy. And she filled the envelopes with gospel tracts. And those tear-stained pages went in through the gates of Kingston Penitentiary, into Randy's cell. There wasn't much to do after he read them, and so he passed them over to the Hindu. He read them. I don't need to tell you. God saved that Hindu. Randy stood at Christ. That dear Hindu thought I'd let her follow him to be signed to brother in Christ. He said, I tried to reach Randy. He's quite an artist, and he even drew pictures of the cross. And he put them up for Randy to see them, with Christ on the cross. Trying to win Randy, a Tarkin, even Hindu. But God saw an honest soul that wanted to be delivered. And so, God provided the salvation that would reach that Hindu. Pray for Randy. Oh, really awful of you. Lifted up his eyes in hell. He came to the great white throne and understood, oh God, the grace that reached that Hindu. My mother's prayers and all, and I tumbled over every one and went to heaven. That's what's going to happen. And so, salvation was needed. A new year. And thank God salvation was provided. God is going to deliver them. He says, I have come down to deliver them. And you know, nothing is going to defeat the purpose of God. God is going to fill heaven with sinners saved by grace. Thank God I get in on it. 21 years of age, I found out that I was a slave of Pharaoh, the old devil. And I was going along making brick, one senseless round of going, using my energy, spending my substance on efforts which did not profit. And God, what heard my groans? I said, Eva, when I come from the dance, Eva, I said, this is all there is to live for. I feel it in my own life. Thank God I didn't commit suicide. Yeah, well, that's what he suggested. He ended up, jump off the bridge, take an overdose. Get rid of all this groaning. Because every sinner groans inside. Why? Because there's nothing in there. In that the heart of the poor sinner was a throne made for God. And the sinner who said God, he's going to heaven. So what did he expect but groaning? And so the devil said, who is? So salvation was provided. God says, I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to deliver. Thank God. We sing down from the glory of Satan. Down to the cross. But, I want to know this. That although salvation was provided, they were going to oppose it. And God had a demand when Moses went in. He said, let my people go that they may serve. Let my people go that they may hold a feast on me in the wilderness. Let my people go that they may do sacrifice on me. God wanted the people for himself. That's what God's doing today. He's getting the people for himself. Pharaoh says they're my people. Moses says they're God's people. And so the fight was on. Who's going to win? All right, Pharaoh said. He said that a people tried to, he
tried to act brave and bold.
And so then God sent.
Very softened.
Old as the man was, that is called 3 days' journey. 3 days. So, after the plague, when God made his hand on Pharaoh, he turned to him. All right, he said, you want to worship old sacrifice?
Come on, here, man. Come
here. Where did you go? Did you ever hear that kind of language? The devil says, if you want to be a Christian, just go and join the church. Just join the church. And just stay right on the land.
None of this business of 3 days' journey. Don't go away, just stay right here.
Oh, Moses says 3 days' journey.
What's that 3 days?
Death, burial, and resurrection. Went across the Red Sea. How did these trip all together?
That's the blood from taking the water. And so Pharaoh's compromise was, number two, worship God in the land. We've seen this often in our experience, so maybe the spirit of your soul. And then they say, well, maybe they go to a spiritual advisor and they have done. He say, don't. Don't go back there. It's all up in our hands. Hell, we'll stay. You know, we believe. We believe in God, but we believe in God's love. We don't believe in God is going to punish people. We believe in God that loves everybody. And everybody's going to be in heaven. So just stay right where you are. Stay up your life. Stop your all these bad habits. Join the church. And, be a minister. And be a good colleague. Be a minister. Ah, friend. That old devil doesn't cheer.
Look.
John Wesley, one of the most
zealous young men that England ever produced, was John Wesley. And when he went to college as a young man, he was so zealous. He had a time set aside to read the Bible. He had a time set aside to pray. He had a time set aside to visit the sick. These things are all right in their place. And he had a time set aside to fast.
And he was so regular. He got a little band of men around him, and they called him the Methodist. He was so methodical.
He fitted himself for the ministry and became a missionary. And he sailed the Atlantic, but it took 3 months to get to this country, instead of 3 hours. 3 months to sail the Atlantic, and he came out to America to convert the North American Indians. He'll stay on the land. Worship God on the land. He spent 5 years trying to get the drunkard to stop drinking, and the immoral person to clean up his life, and the liar to stop lying, and the blasphemer to stop his cursing.
And here's 5 years he deserved. He sailed back for England from the furlough. And he hurts the Moravian brethren. They're the ones that first went to the coast of Africa. Way back in 1700. I heard them preaching the gospel of the church. There was so much different than what the rest of them did. An awful storm came up. And Wesley thought, what they're saying is true. And the ship went down. And the lost. And the fact England, he heard someone reading of a justification by faith. In other words, lest any man should boast. John Wesley got saved. And he said, I went to America to convert the Indians, and I found I wasn't converted myself. I found that I was a child of wrath, an heir of hell. And then John Wesley, after he got saved, he started to preach the gospel. So don't you see, worship God in the land. All around we have people doing that. They never get out of these. Pharaoh knew that worship God of the land is still make great for Pharaoh. And still be engaged in all the things that he had, and that's what people do today. Take the sacrament on Sunday, have the horse races on Saturday night, and all of these things, then. That's Egyptian theology.
what Moses said 3 days journey.
Then, there is another.
Alright, did God lead his hand up there? And God said, I want my people to go. And he sent the plague of flies, he sent the plague of lice, and he sent the plague of darkness, he sent the plague of blood. My wife here will it again. When the waters turned to blood, here says, all right, he said, go.
Who is your dad?
Don't go very far away.
Don't go very far away.
Don't go so far away as you come back to that.
Don't go so far away as you come back. Think over. You see, this is, I'm translating it now into what people do today. They want a religion, Pharaoh's compromise, but they don't want a salvation that takes them out of the Egypt world. 3 days journey, death, burial, and resurrection.
And so Pharaoh,
when the plague was lifted, now he came again. Make bread.
And Moses went again. And God sent an earthquake. And then Pharaoh did not get tired of them. Compromise.
Alright, he said.
Go with your bath, he says, but leave the shoes that are in your pants.
You ever hear that today?
Look, if you want to be religious yourself, don't break.
Go eat your hands, but feed your little ones, he said. Feed your little ones.
So the old devil today, he says, if you want to be religious, don't burden your children with it. Let them have their fling. Let them go to the den. Let them play the cards. Let them have all the fun they like. But don't load your religion on them.
The lovely when Moses said, we'll go with our little ones. 3 days to the end of the wilderness. Your brethren, you were staying tonight. I'm telling you, the devil wants to keep the children. Because he knows that he keeps the children, it won't be long until he has the little men, the mothers and fathers. And so compromise after compromise, the old Pharaoh, the old of
them. But God's going to deliver them.
God does want to deliver them.
All these things came up on earth.
Now there's some sitting here tonight, they hear and they're not saved. Are these things, just work themselves right into your soul? The devil has a trick for every person. He wants to keep his goods. And he's determined he's not going to let them go. Now I'm going to tell you this. There's only one way that you'll be in heaven. That is easy.
Yes.
You'll never rise up and say that there's no salvation for me.
God never invited me. God is going to eternally clear himself. That salvation is for every man and every woman without money and without Christ. God is going to deliver.
I'm a firm believer. I can't prove it, but I just believe that God's big enough that there's never been a day in Pentecost that there hasn't been 3,000 souls for me. And maybe more and more and more and more.
Well, you know, you can't, no, I can't prove it, but you can't prove it.
Our God is a wonderful. He's a God of redemption.
I'm a lover of flowers. Some flowers that grow, especially the daddy. I take them and get them wherever I can.
When I look at that and I think that this is the handiwork of my Lord Jesus that died upon the cross for sinners to keep them out of hell and to take them from hell into heaven. When I look at the devil doesn't love men and women calling up looking flowers today, for the lovely green grass and the lovely trees and all, and the singing birds, and the morning star. Oh, you fishermen, you see the morning star and all.
But he ever stopped to think. All things were made by him. And whenever it was nothing made, it was made. And that devil has wrecked everything. That's what's going on in the world today. And for the think that sinners take sides with them. Oh, it's an awful thing to be allied to Pharaoh.
How lovely it is to give to Christ. So, salvation was a hope. And God provided hope. He did the easy. And God says, I'm going to pass through the land. And I'm going to destroy the first one. In the land of Egypt. And
going to take other people for myself. Now he says, this is the way you're going to do it. And the things which are written, of course, I'm written for our Lord, more than all this picture of salvation. Of salvation of life. And God says to the people of Israel, he says, take a lamb. Take a lamb. Keep it up from the tent of the 14th day. And then, see that there's no flowing.
That man that speaks of the Lamb of God, if he comes to the book this morning, to hold the Lamb of God and take away the sin of the world.
Examine, see that there's no blemish.
There's that perfect little lamb. We were telling the boys and girls about it today. The pictures here, the chair. There's nothing that's innocent. We have no Jesus. Little lamb. He is the butcher. My father was a butcher. I never been told that. Then, you know, that they're so pliable, no bleeding, no effort, they just lie there. Then the Lord of God pictured this Lamb of God, an adorable lamb, was born with no sin in his head. You tell the boys and girls, this little animal here was born with a scent in his head. That's like me, before God saved me. I was born with a sense of mind. Every person here was under the judgment of God. God's going to go through the land to eat. God says the firstborn. Firstborn? You're getting them to the firstborn. That is, you weren't born once. You've never been born again. But the firstborn is going to die. Firstborn is going to die. Now he says, take a lamb. Keep it up from the tent of the 14th day. Then he said, and he says, catch the blood of the beast. And then he said, take this a bunch of his and dip it in the blood. And he says, strike the two side posts in the upper door. For the house is where you got. Then take the lamb. He floods on the door. But he didn't do it. And you sit around the table there with that roast lamb and you eat the lamb. Take your shoes and your feet and your staff in your hand because you're going to go. You're leaving Egypt. You're leaving Egypt. I'm happy to the eye and the blood, I will pass over. Did they have to do anything? Yes, they looked at the blood a little. They caught the blood in the basin. They took the hill and they put the blood in the door and the leaf. And they put it in the blood. And God said, I see the blood. And I see the blood contrast. So those that came from, the darkness came down. He goes through the land of Egypt that night. And you see the blood. You saw that? How did it look? The invitation, show the land. The blood is condemnation. You look under the gift. You pray to get the translator to do a simple thing. A lamb has been found. Never died, eh? The Lord Jesus, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This blood was shed. Caught in the basin. Where is it? Here, it is right here. Oh, the book full of it. The basin is full of blood. But God didn't say, when I see the blood in the basin, I'll pass over you. God says, put it on the door. Every individual had to apply that blood. And so you see, a bunch of different. What is it like? It's a true effort. It's a true, if you do such a life, you have a bunch of different elements. What is it? Every day, you're exercising faith. You can enter the hall of the night in the 70s.
walk on the floor, his feet on the floor, his whole body. He's a simpleton. Everywhere we go, we're using, we're exercising faith. As Robert McLaughlin has often said, you know, living over there on the island, when you get across, somebody asks you, how do you get across to the island? Well, really, it was my faith that took me from who was it from? Where the faith is. You had a faith in the boat for yourself. It was the boat that took you across. But it was believing that the boat was worthy, seaworthy, to drive on. And that's what they have, that you can find it anywhere. You're using it every day. You pick up the newspaper. You get the news, the man has been killed or died. All these things, that's just like the hyssop.
What's the ticket?
Get it in the box.
Listen, 2,000 years ago, the love of Jesus ran out. And he never got to be the Lord Jesus. Hosanna talking to you on the 22nd of June 1934. I get that. Listen.
This is just a picture. Run the middle, a fly. Now you can shoot it in front of
the door.
And you know how to do the thing
with this book? He is. Never you can do it. We're having a seat for the world, isn't it? But you won't know that if you didn't spend the rest of the world. You don't know the story of your skin. You dropped a step over there from the island and saved his strength. 25 years of age.
I don't know what you're doing. That opens with everything else.
And so,
you don't do it. You could never believe that there was such enjoyment in Christianity. He never wants to miss a conference.
We were down there coming to a conference, and then he said to me afterwards, he said, I don't expect to find a reason to have a thought instead of eternity.
He said, longer, too quick. Young man, 25 years of age, back to the world. What's he doing? He's feasting on the little slam of the flesh in the door. That's the whole thing. And so,
God provided his salvation.
And then thank God for those who accepted it. And that's what I say.
You young fella in Toronto the other year, he came behind this book level, and he just couldn't get him in the house. Young man, little funny. And then he said, what he said?
He said, why did he call David Murphy?
He never dawned on me. He's blind. Here's him.
We said that going by name, God has made it easy. You're making the difficulty. What was the difficulty about that? Kill a lamb. Catch the blood in the basin. Put the blood in the door. And God gave him new things. He gave him the blood to secure him. When I saw that, I'll pass over you.
And he gave him this word. For sure.
Now,
well, I never saw the blood of Christ. I read about it in the Bible. And I believe in God has said that when the Lord Jesus died, he shed his blood for sinners.
And I came in on that ground, a poor sinner. And I just believe what God said. Now, friend, it says, you that believeth not God, and even a liar. Now, if you call this Prince of England a liar for a case, I'm sure you would understand, you would discover the head of a sinner. You say you don't deserve to go to hell? You don't deserve to go to punishment?
You have everything you need? Oh, you don't
lie. But you don't believe.
He says, he that believeth not God made him a liar.
Well, people say, well, I believe in God.
That's not what it says.
That's not what it says. Listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word,
and believeth him that sent him, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't that a simple verse? But here's the catch. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me. Who sent him? God sent
him. What does God say about you, David? God says about me that I deserve to be in the lower hell. That I was a lost sinner.
And there wasn't one atom of good about me.
And I never did anything to please God. That's what he wanted to do. You won't be now, or you won't be God. I will never be a servant yet. And the first act of believing is a sinner believes God is a law.
Because God saved lost sinners. It's an act of God to save lost sinners. But it's an act of a sinner.
That's what repentance is.
Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus. Now you watch those people.
And you see them.
The sun is shining, maybe, just going down the evening. You see those men in dead earnest. They've got a basin of blood. And they've got a bunch of hyssop. And they got a dead lamb. They carry it in. What's wrong with you? The sun is shining. I don't see any danger. But God says, and passes through the land tonight. At midnight tonight, when the firstborn's going to die, they went in. They put the blood of the door and went in. Sat down, let me move.